Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Welcome to Why Fish this week, and my name is John Falk, and I'll be hosting a little change of pace for show 102. Late February here, and I got a little treat. I'm going to interview Brad Durek for a change. Dawkins out this week, so we thought we'd try something different and give this a shot. Brad, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I suppose I should sum this up. I did 101 consecutive shows. I figured it was time for a change of pace.
My friend is lazy, we'll say, but yeah, it's okay. How you been? What you been up to the past week?
Well, it's been good. Warmer temperatures finally up here in the North Country. It's funny, we talked most of the winter about how we were waiting for some cold temperatures, and all of a sudden we're talking about cold temperatures, and it's nice. It was nice to get out to the shed and work in the garage after work a little bit last night, and sun was shining, and all you needed was a sweatshirt.
It was a real good experience, you know, the nice warm weather here up in the mid to 20s, and I did a little bit of fishing over the weekend and into this week, and had some beautiful weather, a little bit of sunny days, a little bit of cloudy days, but it was a good time. Hey, this weekend, Brad and I went out to a little pond and did some more tip-hopping and had a good time, but took my wife with us. And it was her first time ever being on the ice. And my wife just happens to be from South Texas, and she thinks I'm a little nuts for ice fishing.
I can attest to this because after we got done drilling holes, I think she thought I was a smartass or something because she was worried that it was not thick enough ice for her truck. So I drilled a hole down about 25, 28 inches roughly, and I stopped the auger, and I looked at her, and I go, deep enough for you?
She got a kick out of it. I drove the truck up there, and she's like, you're not going to drive on the ice. I said, no, honey, not at all. I came around the corner and went right through the reeds and put her on the ice, and she started beating me. She unbuckled and came across the driver's seat and started hitting me pretty good. I was laughing about it. She wasn't happy, though. She wouldn't get out of the truck for the first 30 minutes we were out there either. Didn't want nothing to do with it.
But, you know, as the day went on, it seemed that she got a little more comfortable with our outing as we were running around and chasing flags and had that crazy kid with us.
Yeah, yeah. Had a good time. Had a good friend of ours, Kent Hollins, and his boy Colby with us as well. And had the Arctic Siren out there blaring away, just wailing and flashing. And trust me, there's no mistaking that siren when it goes off. You know something is happening.
Well, I don't know if you've been listening to the shows 3 and 4 weeks ago talking about those things, but those sirens, we've said it. God, this must be the fifth or sixth show now that we've said how fun those things are to use.
Give you a little background story on these sirens here. I was up Upper Red the past 2-3 days here. I'm chasing the crappies and popping the walleyes, having a good old time, occasional perch. And, we had 4 rattle reels in a 3-man sleeper house. So what are you going to do to put 2 more lines in at night? You know, you can have 2 lines apiece to be legal. So I grabbed my sirens and I set them and didn't tell anybody what I was doing. One was right under my own bunk and the other is under the coffee table, and set them up. And all of a sudden, about 30 minutes into sleep, and the siren underneath me went off, and I flipped about off my bunk and landed on the floor. The one guy above me, he never even woke up. But the second guy, man, he was just screaming to shut it off. It was hurting his ears. You can just imagine what that sounds like in a 7x14 sleeper house.
That's good stuff, man. So did you get the fish?
We got the fish. It was a good time, man. The sirens, they went off. We finally got used to them. You put them on there, and they go off pretty good. I wish there was a way to tone it down a little some days, but you never know. I mean, there's always improvements to come along. But
Well, I understand you had another interesting encounter with the old siren, and it wasn't fishing-related.
Yeah, day 2 there, the temperature really rose up. We were above 30 degrees and did our thing for the day, and yeah, nature called, and we went running to go to shore and, you know, have a nice, convenient, civilized break. And on the way to shore, we realized that all the heave bridges had moved throughout the day. Ice had heaved up about 7 feet throughout the day, and they had to move every bridge there was. And it took us about an hour to find a bridge to cross. And we didn't bring the GPS because what fun would that be? It's not an adventure if you know what you're doing. So back on the way out, find this bridge, and I got an idea where I need to go for this sleeper house. And I grab the cell phone and make a phone call to the guy who's still sitting in his shack. And I said, take my siren, turn it on flash, and set it on top of the house, face it southeast. He looks at me and goes, what are you talking about? I said, just do it. I'm lost. I want to find my way home. And we started driving in the general direction, and we were just over a mile out. And all of a sudden, the guy, Buddy Rich, who was driving, looks over and he goes, you're not going to believe this. And we stopped the truck, and sure enough, even with the headlights on, we could see that siren flashing from a mile away. It, son of a, good thing out there, man. It was pretty fun to see that siren working, and another attest to what those things really can do.
The Frable safety beacon.
I tell you, it was almost just worth having it for that beacon flashing. If you ever get lost in a snowstorm or something, it might be a little keen thing to have in your tackle box.
Well, you're lucky that it was nighttime and not daytime, because I did find those are a little difficult to see in the daytime. But that's what the siren's for.
Yeah, that is what the siren's for, and that's what it goes off real well, works for you. But going back to our pike experience and having my wife out on the ice, she was out there and she had about 27 layers of clothes on. I mean, 2-3 pair of socks and jeans under jeans and of sweatpants and then jeans again. It was kind of comical to watch her try and get dressed that day. She had a good pair of boots, because I always believe you have to have a good pair of boots, and she's got a good warm jacket with the weather up here. But started thinking about it, and Brad just wrote an article a couple weeks ago called Dress for Success, and I thought we'd talk about that next. What is dressing for success, and what is success?
Well, you know, it actually came up in talking to my buddy Corey down at Vexilar about these Vexilar cold snap suits, and I had the same situation as him happen last year. And what happened is he got one of these suits for his dad, and his dad didn't like it because he was cold. And it brought me back to last year, the first time my dad ever came up to Devil's Lake with me to do tip-ups. It was, I don't know, probably about 10 degrees with a 30-mile-an-hour northwest wind that day. And I told him, I said, bring your best pair of coveralls, and you know that waterfowling coat you got? Bring that too. Bring your wool socks and whatever, and we'll meet you at the lake, because he comes from the west and we came from the east. We met him out there, and he's standing there in his farmer coveralls and his $29.99 boots and his yellow farmer gloves. Now, that's fine for feeding cattle. Not a problem, because you're moving hay and, you know, cleaning the barn and carrying buckets of water and feed and stuff to the cattle, and that's great because you're busy. But for watching tip-ups or sitting in a shack or in the wind at all, not going to cut it. And he was in absolute agony for that first couple hours. But lucky for me, I thought ahead and brought my extra pair of boots and an extra pair of wool socks and an extra hat and extra gloves, and I told my mom to make sure she put that waterfowling jacket in the pickup, even though he didn't want it. And I think about the time we were done setting the tip-ups, he was changing clothes. And that's what kind of all started, is just didn't understand the layering. You know, the people in that generation of our parents, which are now in their 50s and 60s, they were, you get a warm coat and you put your socks, your pants, and you put your warm clothes on, and that's that. And they don't understand the layering technique, which works so much better, and that's what started the article.
Yeah, layering is very important anymore to keep your skin warm to start with, to have the air flow in there just a little bit, keep the air close, you know, layer of air through your skin to hold the heat there. And then good stuff. Start with, let's say, footing and boots. Where do you go from there if you're looking to layer?
Well, I'm going to back you up one more step to long underwear.
You love the long underwear.
You know, there's so many great companies making long underwear now. And I'm, call it old-fashioned, call it cheap, call it whatever you want, I still wear the old Cabela's Union suit. The 100%, what is it now? I want to say nylon, but that's not right. Polyester. Because if you sweat in polyester, you don't get wet. Like, cotton just sticks to you when you get wet, like a t-shirt or whatever, playing ball. And I start there. Basically a pair of underwear, and I put that union suit on. And then a cotton blend wool sock, or a 100% wool sock, whichever you prefer. You can get them anywhere. And, you know, the Shields, the Cabela's, basically any outdoors company makes awesome wool socks now. Just pull a pair of those over your tootsies, and then, you know, from that point, just get dressed like you normally would, I guess. A pair of jeans or sweatpants and a long sleeve shirt. If it's really cold, throw a sweatshirt on over the long sleeve shirt, so now you're three layers deep. And then get to the boots, you know, once you get to the outdoors. You know, you might correct me on this one, John, but I like something rated for 125 below or colder.
Whatever I think it can get. Say, well, this year I was on the ice fishing in Bemidji, and it was 38 below according to the thermometer, and that wasn't including the wind. And the wind was blowing about 40 miles an hour that day, so she was cold. And I'm lucky enough, as everybody knows, I get military issue, and it works real good for me. I got some polypros again, polyester, and that's my first layer. Usually I wear a pair of sweatpants and a jeans, and then I have a nice suit, winter suit, ice armor suit that I wear for my overlayers. But again, man, I like stuff to be built. I run lacrosse boots, real big, thick, always waterproof toes. Everything that I can get can be water resistant at least. You never know when you're going to get wet or what's going to happen. So try and keep yourself dry is the other thing.
Well, you know, going into boots, mine are rated, like I said, to 125 below. And I don't know who rates these things, but at 20 below, my feet get cold in those boots. I'm sorry. It just, that's how it works. But, you know, a little walk around here and there and life is great. And a good quote, I used it in the article, and I it's not my own quote. I got it from a gentleman at a store, is if your feet aren't happy, you aren't happy. And that's words to live by right there, especially when you're out on ice and water and just fishing. Because if your feet are cold, your day is shot.
Yeah, if you're cold, you're not going to have fun. I 2 years ago, I fell in duck hunting, and it was water's about 40 degrees, and air temperature was hovering right around there. And after about 4 hours, I had my limited ducks, and I had hypothermia, and it was not a fun thing to go through. Being cold ain't a joke. Yeah, do what you can do to stay warm and stay dry. But speaking of the great Vexed Cold Snap suit, my wife thought that was the slickest thing, and she's a great fan of black and white, and we ordered one for her yesterday so she can venture out onto the ice with us again. She was pretty excited about that.
So I'm going to have a twin out there now.
There will be a mini-me, except no goatee, so it works.
Notice I shaved my Osama beard.
Yeah, that we did. So, looking forward to getting back out again and seeing what we can do, and always dressing for success like we talked about earlier. So, there's going to warmer weather's on the way. It's been here this week. We got a little cold snap coming through again. But with the warm weather, you guys, if you are going to be on the ice, you got to start being safe. This week out the Upper Red, we with the ice heaves been popping and moving of ice, we found open water in a couple spots, and wasn't big enough to suck a truck in or anything like that, but you never know what the water next to the open water is like, and you never know what could happen anywhere around there, so always use good safety.
Well, that's another fine one, and you know, we're just at the beginning of the bad ice, and I've seen people do some really stupid stuff in the late ice, but you know, the sun means something this time of year, and every day it means more. And that's, I think, one of the things people forget. People think, oh, it's still 20 degrees outside, so the ice is safe because it's still below freezing. But, you know, this is the time of year where the sun means something, and it could stay 20 degrees through April, and that ice is still going off because the sun is going to cut through it.
Yeah, the sun means a thing. And just to give you an example, what the sun does, I mean, look at your driveway or any driveway. As soon as it gets snow, and you shovel a little bit, and there's still snow on there, but a day of good sun on that driveway will clear it right off. And you think about how much it's just melting right there, and then you look at this ice, and the ice can just reflect the sun right back into itself, and it does twice the damage to it.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, and we're going to talk about that, I'm sure, as the show goes along, and as the honeycombing starts and the black ice starts. And I might even pull out some of the pictures of the black ice from last year. And I know we talked about it after that April ice trip, but I mean, it was something to behold. And there is a video of it that exists. And I should get that and post a clip of it. I've got a picture of Brad Dawkin, the regular co-host on here.
Good Brad.
Chasing a tip up and going shin deep right through the ice. I mean, there was good ice down below and he was in perfect safety, but that's how rotten the ice was when we were out there.
Yeah, I'm seeing. You always run into rotten ice and this ice, and saw a picture this past year of a guy driving across the ice, and there was a little bit of water there, so another guy came to the spot where there's water and decided to drill a hole to let the water drain. Well, the hole just let more ice in. And it's a heck of a picture. So now instead of having a foot of water, you had 2.5 foot of water. And everybody had to go through this road in this section to get in and out. And when you hit water, you see water drive through it. You don't know what's underneath it. I mean, it's kind of a scary, hairy deal.
Well, one good rule of thumb, and I heard this many years ago, is if you see water on, if you drive out and it's ice in the morning, and you're driving through 6 inches of water to get off, it's scary as all hell, and I'll say that from personal experience. But seeing ice or water on top, or driving through water, is a good thing, because that means there's a solid sheet of ice underneath you. It's when you see honeycomb ice, and it's kind of a white-black look, and there's no water to be found. That's the scary stuff.
That's the slush coming back to the top, and there's nothing stable about anything that's going on there. So, well, I think we've had a good night here on Y-Fish.
16 minutes, not bad.
It's not bad. If I
kind of weird being the guest.
It's kind of good to be the host, but I'm going to leave it to the guest to try and go with the other host final out. I'm still trying to learn this great
thing. In practice.
Now, here we go.
That's going to conclude this week's edition of Y-Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Keep the line wet too, folks. Good luck.
Thank you for listening to Y-Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to YFishRadio.com.